Hello and welcome to episode 57 of the Hollywood Knitter Podcast. My name is Allison and I am your host. In today's episode, we can expect some in the can, now playing, a bit of gossip, press junket, and production notes. Hey everybody, I'm back. Did you miss me? I missed me. I didn't realize how long it had been since I recorded. I don't know why. It was just one of those things I had been putting off because, honestly, I haven't got a ton of knitting done. And I like to have some stuff to talk about because I've just been in the slog of projects. And then I realized like 6 weeks had gone by. And I had, even though I didn't have a lot of knitting to talk about, I did have some like adventures to share and some other stuff. So I said, time to get my butt in the chair in front of the microphone and just do this podcast. So that's what you get today. I'm doing it a little more off the cuff than usual. I haven't been mentally preparing for podcasting like I usually do. So it may be a little spacey, a little all over the place, or it could be totally cohesive. We'll see. In the can. I only have two FOs. One of the reasons I was hesitating on podcasting. Okay, so my last podcast was March 8th. So these are the two projects I finished in the last 6 weeks. The first were my Super Bowl socks, which I finished on March 12th, and I've been working on them since the Super Bowl. And these were knit on US ones or 2.25 millimeters in 716 knits in self-striping. I don't know what the self-striping was called, but the stripes, it was actually two large blocks of stripe. One large block was gray and the other block was multicolored. Toe up, Judy's Magic Cast On, increased to 64 stitches, and then I just did a purl 2 knit 4 rib for this whole sock. And I did increase a little more on the bottom of the foot because I do have a greater instep and I'm trying different ways to address that. And that worked pretty well. And then I did the fish lips kissed heel, and then I wanted to use all of this, so I actually measured equally out the balls and tried to use all the way to the top, so these are really long socks. Nothing too exciting, it's just another pair of great socks. The yarn is really cool. I really like the two, the contrast of the solid and then the variegated, and I like that. I haven't seen a lot of designers doing that lately. It's not like a rage or anything. The other thing I finished since the socks, so I needed another portable project and I didn't feel like casting on a pair of socks right afterwards. So what I did cast on was a hat. And I settled on the Stacks hat by Karina Spencer. And honestly, I think I added this to my library when she was giving like a pattern away for free. Because I think it is a paid pattern and I know I didn't pay for it. So I think I added it that. But it's a really simple hat with a really simple kind of lace repeat that goes along it. And what the hat is actually, I think, a sport weight design. And what I did is I held sock double to get a sport weight-ish yarn. And I went deep into my stash, which made me really happy. I think this is one of my older skeins. It was from February 2011. I purchased it at Stitches West, maybe? I could totally be lying. Anyways, the yarn is Madtosh Sock in Black Velvet, which are these grays and purples, and it just is really pretty. It was such a quick hat. It only took me like 2 weeks. I did knit them on US 4 or 3.5 millimeters, and I did start it twice because originally I had started on smaller needles, and it was just too dense, the fabric it was giving. So then I went up one, ripped it all back, went up one on the 4, and I ended up using about 350 yards. So that was about... I wore it for the first time this weekend. I still don't have pictures of it, but I will by the time you hear this podcast. And it's just, I was debating on whether it was going to be a gift hat, but I really kind of like it. So I think I'm going to keep it for me for next winter or spring or whenever I want to wear it. So I highly recommend that was the Stacks hat by Karina Spencer. It's a really cool hat and I like really simple to memorize and easy to do. And I like the look of it, especially in a variegated. It really looked nice. And that's all the FOs I have. Wah, wah. Now playing. All right, so if I haven't been doing a lot of FOs, what have I been working on? I've been slogging. slogging through too many projects because I have too many on the needles. First up is The Breakwater by Cecily Glowick McDonald. I'm doing this as a knit along with my friend Priscilla, whom I actually haven't talked to in a while, so I hope she's working on her sweater. But I had got all the way down to where I split for the sleeves and stopped for a while because I know that she needed to catch up. And then I picked it up again this past weekend uses retreat knitting because it is lots and lots of stockinette. It's a pullover raglan, top-down raglan pullover in fingering, doing with some Into the World Manchester sock. And as I said, lots and lots of stockinette. I think I'm going to make some modifications to it. It's actually a relatively fitted sweater where you do decreases to the waist and then you increase again. And I think I want it to make a little looser. So what I'm planning on doing, and we'll see how this works, is I'm not going to do the waist decreases. So I'm going to have it be straight through that section. And then I'm just going to do increases for my hips because I sort of have to do that because my hips flare out rather dramatically. And if I don't, then the sweater doesn't fall right. We'll see how that goes. So I did about, I don't know, an inch and a half of stockinette in the round this past weekend. I basically finished the first ball of the yarn. So I'm completely through one skein and I have two more skeins left. Yay! Lots and lots of knitting. It will actually probably be traveling with me soon because it's really easy to pick up and do, especially because I'm not doing any increases. So I just have to knit like 8 inches of stockinette. The other project I'm working on is the Abyss Shawl by Marty McLean. And this was from one of those online knitting magazines that's escaping me at the moment. And I cast this on February 8th, and I'm doing it, it's lace weight on US4s and a gradient. And it's actually, this gradient was 5 20-gram skeins of yarn in a blue-gray from like a dark blue-gray getting progressively lighter. Twist Collective, that's what that's the magazine. And as the pattern actually calls for fingering, and I decided to do it in lace, so this is definitely turning out smaller than the schematic for the actual pattern. But I think it's coming out good. Instead of like being like a shoulder shawl, it's more like a shawlette kind of neckerchief kind of shawl. And right now I am 70% done. I am through 3 of the colors. I'm on the 4th and I still have the 5th. And I've joined the 2 because this has an interesting construction in that you knit in sections. And so for the what I'll call the arms of a shawl, you knit those separately and then you join them to do the body of the shawl. So that's how the color repeats work, roughly. And if you're interested, go and check out the pattern on Twist Collective because it's really cool. So yeah, I'm on the 4th color and it's going well. It does require, as I think I said previously, a little concentration, but I definitely figured out the system that works for me. This pattern calls for decreases pretty much every row, at the beginning of every row. And that number is pretty steady, except then some rows it increases. And so to know what row I'm on and to know when I'm supposed to be decreasing, I literally wrote out 1 through, I think, 28 is how many rows the repeat is. And then I wrote the number of how many decreases in the beginning. And as I do it, I'm crossing it out. So not only am I keeping track of how many decreases I need to do that for that row, I'm also tracking which row I'm on. And that's kind of helped me. Because on the pattern, she's pretty detailed and charts is what I'm usually working from, though it's an easy thing to memorize. So now I don't really use the charts, but she's really good about putting stitch counts on there. So a few times I've not been where I should be. And when I count stitches, I'm off and I'm always been able to kind of tink back and figure out where I messed up. So it's going. I'm hoping to have that done, you know, in the next month or two. I'm actually really close to getting it done. And as I said, I have it memorized really well right now. So when I sit down, I do a good portion at a time. It's just I have so many other projects right now for me that I'm not dedicating enough time. The other project I'm working on is my cardigan, which is Homegrown by Melissa Shajawari. And I started this on February 16th and am knitting it in Miss Babs Kawia in Beach Glass. And it's, I love this yarn. It's really such a soft, squishy, easy yarn. I'm pretty much almost done with the body, which is kind of where I was. Well, I was on the body last time, but I literally probably have about 10 more rows on the body, and then I'm going to go to the sleeves. And I have this really crazy idea that I want to finish this for Maryland Sheep and Wool, though it'll probably be too warm to wear, but I really want to finish it. So I need to finish two sleeves in, a week. I could be crazy. I do have some serious knitting time coming up this weekend that I'll talk about later. So it is possible, but I could be crazy. We'll see. It's going well. I'll talk more about it when I'm done on my next one. It's just a open front cardigan, no button band, no nothing. It's just one of those that kind of hangs open. It's a little longer. And I'm really hoping it will be something I add to my wardrobe and can wear a lot. The last project I'm working on is socks, because after I finish my hat, I cast on for a pair of socks. And so I went into the stash and said, what is sparking joy in me? Not really, but I did look at what skeins were making me smile, and I picked up the Mustache Yarns in Sesame Street colorway. And these are a 15-stripe rupee inspired by Sesame Street characters. And it is awesome. I picked this up at SSK last summer from Stacy, and she does the Mustache podcast also. And gosh darn, is her dye job phenomenal. Phenomenal. I had these socks with me all weekend, and so many people were asking, what are those? They just look so happy. And they are. They're so happy. But what I'm really impressed about is the dye job. She uses so many colors, yet the transition from one color to the next is so crisp. So crisp. It's really awesome. And it came as an OCD pack, which means that she measures them out into two equal skeins that start and end on the same color, so you don't have to worry about your socks not matching. How awesome is that? I am through the first one. I am doing toe up, fish lips, kiss heel, blah, 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 increasing over the foot. And the only thing I have noticed is that in theory, I started them exactly the same spot and I'm knitting them up exactly the same way. But my second sock, the gauge must be tighter slightly, because on the first sock, it worked out perfectly. Like after I did the heel, that I had just ended on a color. And so when I went back to knitting in the round, I was on next color. So I didn't have to cut anything because I want stripes to continue evenly up the top of the foot. But on my second sock, I had about, not that much, maybe like 4 inches of the color left. So I actually am going to have to do a little weaving on that sock. So apparently that one's also a little tighter. Hopefully it will loosen up a little. My gauge, I must knit really tightly when I'm at knitting events. Is all I can say, because I started the second one there. Though I did a good portion of knitting at some, I had some work knitting this week. I had a 4-hour training, and luckily I was able to get a seat kind of in the back where I wouldn't distract anyone, and I was able to knit for a lot of it, which really, really helped to have this sock that was just going in the round. Though I have to say that I have fish lips heel memorized enough that I don't have to rely upon anything, that I can just do it from memory, which is really nice. So those are all my projects I have going on right now. A bit of gossip. So what has been going on? This is going to be gossip slash travelogue, because I'm just going to wrap everything up in here, because as you can tell, I'm talking a little fast today, and I just want to get it all out there. Life has been really good. I've been pretty busy. Nothing super exceptional, just some trips and some things that were planned and work and life and etc. Work is finally getting busy, which is good, except you know how it is, feast or famine, and you should never complain about what you have, because boom. So I went from being a little bored in my new position because I didn't have enough to do, so they gave me a project that was an ongoing project. It's not a new project. So I took over for another construction manager because he was going to start on a new project. And this project is 24/7. And construction is 24/7, which means I'm pseudo available 24/7. And they do calls on weekends. They do calls at night. They do calls. Stuff comes up in construction, but I never realized how nice it was to have a contractor that pretty much only worked, you know, business hours. I haven't been like on a 24/7 operation. But, you know, you can't complain. I'm busy, and that really is making my day go by fast, and that is making me much happier. It's way easier when you have for me when I have a lot to do and I'm kept busy. The remodeling bug has bitten me. I talked about wanting to redo my bedroom and I have. I painted and that was the big change. Well, one of the big changes. So I decided after many ruminations and trying to draw my boyfriend into helping me pick, and he doesn't really care. But I settled on doing a gray on three of the walls. And then on the wall, the biggest wall in terms of space that is opposite my window that my bed is against, I decided to do that as an accent wall with the thought that I could change that color wall and change the scheme of my room without painting all the walls. Because paint, I've forgotten how annoying paint was. Like luckily I didn't have too much furniture in there. So we moved everything in the middle, but it took like the taping and then the painting and when we started and the whole thing, like hours, and then, you know, touching up the next day and then touching up some more. And it was just, it's easy, but it is annoying. But anyway, so I did my three walls in light gray and then my accent wall is in this really deep sailor blue, like kind of really not navy, but blue. And I really like it. At first, I was kind of, I'm not really sure why I went with blue. It was kind of, I don't know. I just decided to go with blue, like this really primary color blue. And painted the wall. And then I was like, okay, I think I like this. Then a few weeks later, I finally bought a new bed. I finally, after looking at many online and in stores, settled on a bed. And I ordered it from Overstock.com, actually. And it came, and it's like these wooden slats, but like a really warm brown, and it's a platform kind of bed. So we were able to just put our mattress on it on the slats without needing a box spring or anything, because I literally had been on a mattress on the floor for a while, like over 6 months. And I really like it because it kind of ties into the room. To tie it in further, I bought new pillows and some new bedding, and I brought, because my favorite color is orange. In fact, my roommate was really surprised I didn't paint the wall orange. And I might have if I already didn't have an orange wall downstairs that I'm looking at right now as I record. But I went with orange sheets and I tied it in with this great duvet cover that is light gray with like the little blue stripe and a little orange stripe. And it's looking really good. And I bought an ottoman to go with my chair that I have up there. And I pulled a table that I had in the garage up. And so my room is styling. The only thing I have left, I want to do some either art on the wall or some mirrors, and I want a new dresser, but I'm waiting until we transition the next section, which will be, my roommate is supposed to move out, I think, the end of June, and that's when we'll redo what's her room for my boyfriend's son for his room when he comes to stay with us. So then that will move some furniture out of my room into there, et cetera, and then I'll do more. I still have plans where I want to redo my bathroom. I think I want to change the color scheme in there, which would probably be getting like new towels, you know, different things like that. And I want a new couch, but the redoing of the living room is going to wait until the fall. I just have too much money going out on other trips this summer to think about a big, big furniture purchase like that. But I am excited. I have been like Pinteresting a lot of Pinterest and pinning a lot of pictures and things like that. And I just want to, you know, change the look of things and... But I am happy with my first few changes. It just makes my bedroom seem more adult and I like it. It makes me relaxed and happy. Okay, let's go right into talking about some trips. First trip I had was in the beginning of April, and that was WonderCon, which is a comic book convention in Anaheim. It is put on by the same company that does the San Diego Comic-Con, which is the big one in July. And this WonderCon, they've been doing as a smaller con for years. Used to be up in San Francisco. I went there a few years. And then I think 1 year they couldn't get the convention center up there. So they moved it down here. And I think they just like having it down here. And it does really well in Anaheim. It's about, I think I heard somebody say like 30,000 people. And like Comic-Con is like 140,000 a day or something. So it's decently sizable, but it's not unmanageable. And I went down with my boyfriend and his son. This was my first time doing a weekend trip with the two of them. And it went really well. You know, his son anyways, is a big Doctor Who geek. And so we went to a panel on like Doctor Who costuming where, you know, basically Uber fans talked about the different ways they do costuming of the different doctors and things like that. I mean, and when I say Uber fan, I mean like Uber fans down to the talking about the different plaids on the different suits that they wear and the different color pinstripe, like details that I've never noticed about Doctor Who costuming, but it's really cool. And then just walking around, I mean, the costumes are awesome. So many awesome costumes and different people dressing up and so many great artists there. We did a lot of walking around and going to Artist Alley and lots of cool stuff. I didn't buy any stuff for myself, but the kid did get some stuff. Like he had his own budget and then he had, you know, conned me or his dad into getting him some more stuff. And so he got some Doctor Who stuff. He got some stuffed parasites, like different kind of stuffed diseases. There was this one stall that had like stuffed diseases and it takes what I guess what's the shape of the cell and stuffs it. And he thought those were the coolest things. And so we got a few of those. He also wanted a meat pillow and they didn't have that. And really it just says, I am a meat pillow. Yeah, I didn't get it either, but he was really sad when they had sold out. We actually went down on Friday afternoon and walked around for a few hours. And then we stayed in the hotel and just kind of chilled out after walking really far to get bad dinner. But that's the way it goes. And then Saturday, we walked around all day, went to some things, had a great dinner at the hotel. We stayed right there next to the convention center, which was really convenient. And then Sunday, we walked around for just a wee bit more before we drove back because it was Easter and I had to get back for Easter. And it was really fun. I had the goal of like introducing both of them to kind of Comic Cons. My boyfriend used to go way back in the day when it was all comics, but I hadn't been to the more recent incarnations of them. And I really wanted his son to enjoy it. And he really did. He was just like, oh, I don't want WonderCon to end. And like, when's it going to happen again? And I'm like, oh, next year, buddy. Yeah. So it was a great success. Then the next weekend, my college roommates came into town. My college roommate / high school best friend / bride to be that I'm going to be in her wedding. And so she flew into town from Ohio, and then our other friend flew in from Texas. And then her friend, who's also in the wedding party, who lives here, came down. She lives about an hour north of LA. And we kind of all hung out together. We went bridesmaid dress shopping. Not my favorite thing. But this was relatively painless. She had already made her sister on a trip to see her try on a ton of dresses. So she had narrowed it down to two at one of the major bridal chains. So we went and we tried on the two. It was very quick, which one. It was very easy to decide. One made us look like we were all pregnant, of which none of us are. And then the other one didn't. And she liked it, and that's fine. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. And that's fine with me. So we ordered all that and then we walked around and did some shopping and eating and just hanging out. And they all stayed at my place and we put air mattresses out and we watched Netflix and ordered food. And it was just a really fun girls' weekend. Oh, and one of the other things we did. So two of us, we all graduated together. That's how we met the third girl. We were college roommates. And then I've actually known my friend since high school. And we both went to college together. Anyways, we went to campus. And I hadn't been to USC. I hadn't been on campus probably in 3 years. And even then, that was for like a short visit to have lunch with a friend. And they wanted, because our friend hadn't been back pretty much since, I think, 1999. No, 2000. Somewhere around there. A long time. And it's changed in good ways. So many new buildings, so much new construction. It's beautiful, like usual, like it's always been. We felt old. We walked around thinking, technically, there's people here we probably could have given birth to. And it was humbling when you go to college and you just see all them. But it also just made me think of how much I loved college. And I wish I could have just stayed and been a professional student. And actually, to sort of reinforce this after the fact, I just watched a series that I recommend that was on Hulu called Resident Advisors. You know, those RAs you used to have in college. And it was just like a funny, spoofy show on like college life, a very adult take on college life. And it just made me laugh. And I blitzed through like the 7 episodes. So if you're looking for some easy breezy, you know, funny college humor, kind of check it out. It's called Resident Advisors. So we did a little bit of, you know, walking down memory lane. And I got a new license plate holder for my car, my new car, which I've had, you know, for 1.5 years, but I hadn't managed to get a new one because that's the only thing I like to do to announce where I went to school. The other thing we did is we made our own little pact for a diet bet. I have definitely put on what I'll call some love weight lately. You know, what happens when you get in a new relationship and you're happy and in love is, yeah, tend to put on a few pounds. So seeing ourselves in these bridesmaids dresses, all of us were like, including the bride, we're like, all right, we want to lose a few pounds before the wedding. So we decided to go into a diet kind of bet thing with just the four of us. And so we could encourage each other. That ends at the wedding, the Friday. We decided to do it on the Friday because we're all going to weigh in. And then the weekend, we're going to pig out. And the last trip I have, it was awesome. I had such a great weekend. I went to the Northern California Knitting Retreat, Knockers for short, hosted by the Yarniacs and the Two Knitlet Chicks, and then a host of other ladies who helped plan this awesome event. And it was at the Franciscan Retreat Center up in San Juan Bautista, which is about 5-hour drive from me, up the 5 through the middle of farm country, which is the most boring drive. But I left on Friday, worked like a half day. Drove up there, got up there about 3:30, which is when everybody was getting there, and it was beautiful. I was really worried it was going to be brown because I was driving up and it was pretty brown, but back where this retreat center is tucked between the 101 and the 5, it's like off one of the roads there, it was really green. It was farm, but they had a lot of trees and like some little hiking trails and grass. They did have a dried out pond, like you could figure out there used to be a pond and there isn't anymore, but we're in a drought. That's to be expected. So got up there, and the way this retreat worked, it's a very simple conference center. So everyone had to share a room, which was fine. I actually had an awesome random roommate. Her name is Kate, and she lives up in San Francisco. And she actually was like a recent transplant to San Francisco. So she'd never been to a knitting retreat. And yeah, it was really cool to room with her. Hi, Kate, if you're listening. And the rooms were pretty basic in terms of like 2 single beds, a desk, a bathroom with shower water that was so hard because, meaning hardness in terms of the chemical composition of the water, because it was well water. And I'd been a long time since I'd taken a shower in that, you know, where soap doesn't actually bubble or soap up. And ours water was really hot. So showers were challenging and quick. But it was my favorite kind of retreat, which means that it had a whole lot of unplanned time to sit around and knit. It was 16 ladies, and they were from all over, as far north as Seattle. We had two ladies come down from the Seattle, and I think I might have been the furthest south. And then we had all over. We had like Reno and lots of the Northern California area, and it was just so much fun. A lot of the ladies that planned it, I'd known from different knitting retreats around and had met them either at Stitches West or other things. And then some of the attendees I'd actually met like at other retreats, like at Zombie and Apocalypse and other things. So it was really cool and it was really fun. And I did a lot of stockinette knitting. I knit on my sweater and I knit on my sock primarily. I did some hiking on one of the days. I actually wandered by myself, and then it was truly kind of a check out kind of thing because the Wi-Fi / reception was really bad. All I kind of managed to do was do a phone call like to my boyfriend every night because I walked far away where I could get signal. But the rest of the time, I really was really bad. So I just sort of put the phone away, put the tablet away, and didn't surf and just hung out and knit. I don't know what it was this weekend. I was usually, or my MO in previous retreats has been to stay up really late and to shut down rooms. But this retreat, I was like in bed, one of the first ones in bed each night. First night, okay. I'd, you know, woken up early for work. I'd been driving, blah, blah, blah. The second night, I wasn't planning that, but I signed up for a massage. And the only time they had left was like after dinner, like the last massage of the night. It was an awesome massage. An hour. It was so relaxing. But then it was so relaxing. And you know how you come out of the massage, like all limp noodly. And then the group of knitters just having too much fun and having wine and knitting and talking was too much stimulation for me. Like it just was too much. I couldn't handle it. So I had to go to bed to maintain my relaxiness. But I don't regret it for a second because it was a wonderful massage. Let's talk about, let's see, what else did I do there? I ate lots of good food. We had 3 meals a day and they were served by a wonderful cafeteria and they were yummy. They had door prizes. I won a door prize the first night and it was not my colors. It was like a greeny, teal, not even teal. I think it was a greeny blue. I don't remember because I don't have it anymore. Because I was sitting next to somebody who was like, oh, those are my colors. I'm like, they're really not mine. Oh, we'll see what I win for my door prize and maybe we can switch. So I ended up doing that the next night. I missed as part of my massage all of those kind of shenanigans at night and giving out door prizes because I was getting massage. But when I came out, she's like, ooh, this is what I won. Do you want to switch? And I was like, oh, yes. Yes, I do. So I got for my door prize some Miss Babs. And you know I love my Miss Babs. Miss Babs Tart, which is her 4-ply fingering, which I have some of this in my stash. And this is Seeds of Glory. And it's this really deep purple. Not variegated, tonal purple. I'm really excited. Sock weight. Got that. And then the only other skein, because there was no market or anything like that. I didn't stop any yarn stores. The only other skein I got, I ordered. It was the Retreat yarn. And she was there. Sue from Invictus was there. She offered and did up a skein that she kind of tied in the teals of the Tunilla Chicks and the purples of the Yarniacs and created this wonderful color that Knockers 2015. So I bought pre-ordered a skein of it and it is just lovely. And it's again, a sock weight. Don't know what I'm going to do with it. I did come back adding 2 things to my stash and what I'm going to be doing soon. So let's talk about that. Oh, but before I stop, I just want to say special shout out and thank you to all the ladies at Knockers, both those who put it together and all the ones I met. It was so much fun. And hopefully I have some new listeners of some of the new people I met. Press Junket. Where am I going? Well, I am continuing my nonstop weekends of travel and plans with 2 more back-to-back weekends. And so this coming, not even weekend, like tomorrow night, I'm taking the train to Yuma, Arizona again. I did this a few weeks ago because my boyfriend has been out there working for the past 2 weeks and I have Friday off. And so I'm going to be going out there and seeing him because I miss him and I'm using it as an excuse to travel. And so I will have lots of knitting time in the hotel because he is working quite a bit. And I'm actually going to be doing some work from there too. Like the new project will not let me be off the grid for that many days. So I'm going to bring my laptop and get some work done. But that is where I'm planning on getting my sweater done because I have lots of knitting time hanging out and drive back and in between watching, like catching up on my Netflix and my podcasts and whatever. Then I come back, we're driving back on Sunday. And it's like a 4-hour drive. Then that next Thursday night, I fly to DC to go to Maryland Sheep and Wool with my friends. And that is another super quick trip. I come in, I get there on Friday and I leave on Sunday. So I will be attending Maryland Sheep and Wool. And I know there's some people there I want to say hello to, Shiloh. And I know we'll probably be there definitely on Saturday and most likely some of the day on Sunday. Though I am not driving. I'm being driven by the most awesome driver ever. And so I will be at their mercy and doing whatever they want. Exciting, exciting. And then I have like a month off of planning and travel, which will be nice. I know there's some stuff will happen in there, but nothing is planned right now until I do the Bachelorette in Napa. And that's going to be the house that we have rented in Bodega Bay. And that will be a bunch of girls, you know, hanging out for the weekend. And then I have Zombie Apocalypse at the end of June, which moves right in, like flying from Minnesota to Florida to start my vacation with my family, where we're gonna be hanging out at my uncle's, doing a little Disney World with the nieces and nephew, and then getting on a cruise ship on the 4th of July and going for a cruise for a week around the Eastern Caribbean with my mom, my brother, my sister, my niece, my nephew, my aunt, and my uncle. We're very excited. So after that, 3 weeks away, I come back and hopefully have a little time. I will have a little time to kind of relax. There's some talk of maybe a Vegas trip in there, maybe. But the next big thing I know that's happening is the wedding in Dayton, Ohio. And that's going to be, it's at a winery outside of Cleveland. So we'll be flying out for that and hanging out with all friends and spouses and doing a whole weekend of it, and it will be fun. And then the other events I'm scheduled to be at are the Cognitive Fiber Retreat in October, where signups haven't started yet. And then I'm going to Rhinebeck. Lots and lots of stuff going on. Very exciting. I do love to travel. A lot of people said that to me this weekend. And I do love travel. It really, just having something to look forward to, like makes my life better. It makes me happy. And I love planning this stuff. I just get this enjoyment out of it. Production notes. All right, let's wrap this podcast up. I have a contest going on, the First Sign of Spring contest, and I have lots of people who've entered. It is open until April 30th, which is what, sometime next week. And I will be giving two prizes away. The prizes are a skein of Western Sky Knits yarn and a mini skein set from Copper Corgi. Now, I know that I'm not going to be recording a podcast for a while, but I plan on picking up the prize for my next contest at Maryland Sheep and Wool. And so I will open the prize thread for the next contest probably before I record the next podcast. So be on the lookout for that. If you're interested in such things, just check the group and you'll see it sticky to the top, whatever the contest is and whatever the prize will be. I don't know, prize or prizes, because I certainly don't need to buy yarn at Maryland Sheep and Wool, trying very hard not to, but I do like the excuse of buying you guys a prize to give away. So if you haven't entered, go enter the Sign of Spring contest, open until April 30th, and then after Maryland Sheep and Wool sometime that week, look for me opening another contest. And I expect I'll probably record another episode first or second weekend of May after Maryland Sheep and Wool and after I've had time to recover a little bit. And up by then, I should have some things, some FOs to talk about. Hopefully, I didn't talk too fast. I felt like I was talking really fast this episode, and I probably was. But I really love talking to you guys. And if you want to find me on all of the social medias, I am Allison1031 on Ravelry, Twitter, which I rarely use, but you can join me, and Instagram. Instagram is the best. And you can check out and join the Ravelry group, the Hollywood Knitter podcast. That is where I post my contests. That is where I post little links to my episodes if you want to put comments to me. You could also take time to introduce yourself in the thread, and I'll give you a shout out on the podcast. We are almost up to 400 members. And when I get there, I'm going to give out another prize to people who are in my group because they're awesome. I hope that everyone is having a wonderful spring. I love spring. Love it, love it, love it. And I'm really happy right now, and I hope everybody else is too. That's a wrap from Hollywood, where fantasy meets fiber and dreams are knit.